me. Ooh-wee, it's me. I ain't doing nothing but talking shit. So y'all gotta, like, you know, encourage me the whole way along. Ow. I ain't doing nothing but talking shit. So y'all gotta, like, you know, encourage me the whole way along.
What did you say, nigga?
Yeah, what's poppin', man? Yo, it's Thursday night. You know what you're doing. You know, you fucked up with your cable bill. You got expired rice milk in the fridge. You haven't done laundry in about 3 months. Your shit is fucking itchy. You know what I mean? But you got internet signal from your grandfather's fucking apartment next door. Yeah.
He forgot to add you have expired tags on your car.
Nah, it doesn't matter, because if you had expired tags on your car, if you have expired rice milk and you haven't done your laundry, it goes without saying that you don't have a car.
Well, you have expired tags, therefore you can't drive your car, so you can't go to the store to get rice milk.
How about you got flat tires on your bicycle?
You're on rim only. Yeah,
yeah. Yo, anyway, I'm Nestorius, you know, a.k.a. the Glorious, you know, the pimple popping, the flip flap slapping, you know, the popcorn popping, you know, the psychological trip trapping motherfucker in your ear.
I like to say pimple popping because I don't see any pimples. You actually have a very nice complexion. Full head of hair and nice complexion.
Well, that comes with my Puerto Rican heritage.
Is that what it is?
That's my man, Guillermo Rodriguez, a.k.a. Sal Rodriguez. I love your name, Guillermo, way better than Sal.
You're going to get people confused. They're going to start calling me Guillermo.
I love that name. That's a... Dude, I have no idea why you went and changed your name. If you listen to Sal's first... Our first episode, which is two episodes ago, this being episode 88. So if you go to episode 86, I believe Sal Rodriguez was his first official co-host episode. We talk about his name because I didn't know his name was Guillermo.
Yeah, and I regret telling you.
Why?
Well, because then it becomes a topic of conversation. And the whole reason I changed it. I changed it because I don't want it to be a topic of conversation.
What did you say, nigga?
You know, when you have a name like Guillermo... By the way, I forgot that we were sponsored by Be Real. You know that you can hear Be Real. He sounds the same in every song, and yet I never get tired of it.
You can just suck my cock.
And I can just kill a man.
Yeah.
Now, excuse me. Could I get a couple of fries with my cheeseburger?
Anyway, that's my Jewish Be Real impersonation. So I never did ask you. So how the fuck did you go from Guillermo to Sal? Like, how did that happen?
I never went by Guillermo. My family never used Guillermo.
So why did your fucking family give you the name Guillermo?
My mother was probably bulldozed by my dad at some point where he wanted to name me Guillermo, which is the name of his mother's boyfriend. My dad's mother's boyfriend was named Guillermo. Therefore, he wanted to name his firstborn son Guillermo.
That's a trip.
Yeah. Therefore, against my mother's wishes, he named me Guillermo. And then Salvador is his name. So I became Guillermo Salvador Rodriguez. But I've never used Guillermo. I've always gone by Sal.
That's a trip because that's how I got my name, Nestor. It was my father's sister's boyfriend. It's like, what the fuck's up with Latinos? Why don't you mind your fucking business and just name your kid whatever the fuck you think is going to be appropriate for the kid when he grows up?
Well, they're latching onto all these names of people who they identify with as their parents, but they're not.
Yeah, but those motherfuckers are usually gone from their lives. Like, where the fuck was your father after he named you Guillermo? Motherfucker was gone, right?
Well, no, they stuck around for 10 years. They tried to work it out for 10 years. You're talking about my mother and father?
Yeah.
Yeah, they were
10 years?
Yeah, they were together for about 10 years.
Oh, that's pretty good.
And then there was a 2-year separation process. Yeah,
that's impressive for a Mexican family. 10 years, dude?
10 years. Well,
that's like 37 years for blanquitos. For white people, that's 37. 10 Mexican years in marriage is about 37. It's a long marriage.
They got together for particular reasons. It wasn't just exactly love. They got together. He had an agenda and she had an agenda.
What was his agenda?
To get a green card. He wanted to get a green card.
So he was born in Mexico.
Yes.
And she was born here.
Yes.
So, okay, that's not a bad agenda.
And she wanted a home for her children. So she said, I have four kids. I need a home for my four kids. He said, I need a green card. That's like you put your chocolate in my peanut butter. You put your peanut butter in my chocolate.
Oh, my God. It's a Reese's peanut butter cup. But hold on.
But they tried to make it out for 10 years because I came along. In other words, they both had a plan and an agenda. And then I came along, screwed up their agenda. They were stuck together there
because
for 10 years.
Because you have an older brother and an older sister, but those are from different relationships?
Yes.
Okay. Exactly. So let me ask you this.
How do we start talking about this? You know, I'm feeling very sensitive lately.
We're going to move on.
You start bringing up my family,
no,
man.
No, we're going to move on. But
you know how I get when you bring up my family.
Yo, but I'm curious. I'm very curious. So I get your father wanting...
And he continues.
I get your father wanting to get married to get a green card.
Yes.
But since he's born in Mexico, where did your mother come up with the idea that, you know, she wants a house, a home to live in? Where was he going to get a home? I mean, what was his advantage? What was he bringing to the table?
Well, I think really he was a working body is what he was.
Got it.
You know, a working body willing to come home and share his check.
Got it.
So he would go work. He'd come back home, share his check. Then she, you know, meanwhile, he's earning his citizenship.
Got it.
It was a match made in heaven.
Got it.
Or
got
Pacoima,
it.
Depending on which.
Got it. Got it. That's good. Pacoima was a little rougher back then, huh? Or is it?
Pacoima's been gentrified a bit if you followed local politics. So Pacoima's gotten gentrified a little bit thanks to Alex Padilla, who's currently the Secretary of State in the state of California.
Really?
Yes, but he climbed his way up. He used to be the president of the LA City Council.
Okay.
I used to know him.
He's a Secretary of State now?
Now he's the Secretary of State of California.
Wow.
Yes. And he is from Pacoima.
So now we got a spic wasting our tax dollars. Now it's not just a white dude wasting our tax dollars, it's a fucking spic.
But he,
I get it.
But he has gentrified his hometown. He has gentrified Pacoima to a degree.
Yeah. Is he Republican? Probably.
Dude,
you get power to a spic, they automatically become conservative and on the right wing.
That's true. That's very true.
Los Negros, they cannot come to this country. Los Negros. Motherfucker could be Mexican, right? He was eating shit for about 15 years in this country. You give him a position in politics, elect him to office, make him secretary of some shit. All of a sudden, he wants to build a wall to keep his own people out.
I would say, especially Cubans, it seems.
Cubans are the worst.
Yes.
Cubans are probably the most racist motherfuckers of all the spics.
Do Cubans believe that they are at the top of the spic food chain?
They think, yeah.
Yes.
They do think, except Puerto Ricans are at the top of the spic food chain. because we're the first spic Americans. We're the first legalized Americans.
Yes.
So we come from this place of arrogance. Puerto Ricans are arrogant motherfuckers. But if you go to Miami, Cubans... here's a perfect example. Then we'll move on to something else. But here's a perfect example. When I got married in Miami, I had to fill out, you know, what my ethnicity was. I believe it was a marriage license or it was jury duty, maybe one of those things. Anyway, the thing was white, black, or other. And I'm thinking, how the fuck is it where we're in a place where the majority of the people are Latino, right? Because Cubans are Latinos, correct me if I'm wrong.
Sure.
But they consider themselves Caucasians because of their light skin and their Spanish influence in their blood or whatever the fuck they are, right? And so there was no such thing as white, black, or Hispanic even, right?
There was no Hispanic then.
No. What
are you talking about here?
This is like 1995 or something like that, 98. The term Hispanic has always been around.
No, it hasn't.
Latino is the one that hasn't been around for a long time. Latino is the one where, you know, left-wing spics go, yo, ese, fuck you, eh? I'm not a Hispanic. I'm Latino, eh? That's an East LA shit, right? We're, like Mexicans.
Well, really, they would probably just say I'm Mexican.
They would probably
say I'm Mexican, fool.
Yeah.
I'm fucking Mexican, dog. That's fun to say.
Hey, fool.
That's fun to say. Hang on. What the fuck you looking at, Holmes? What you looking at, fool? Okay, that's fun.
Hey, Holmes. Why is it every time you get an ice cream cone, you walk it down the street, and you're mad dogging the cone, eh? Why don't you lick it just like everybody else in a pleasant way, eh?
Why are you talking shit with a fucking cone in your hand, fool? Put down the cone, fool. Put down the cone.
Hey, fool. Licking an ice cream cone? That's a pleasant experience, eh? Why are you walking down like you're assaulting the fucking cone, eh?
You know who thinks they're at the top of the Latino food chain?
Who
they? I would say above Cubans.
Who?
Above Cubans?
Who?
Argentinians. Argentinians.
But they got no validity in the United States. They go fuck themselves.
That's true, but they still think they're the number one Latino.
I get it. You get an Argentinian in America and you get them in a room, yes, they think they're more sophisticated. Porque hablan con ellos. Mira, lo que te quiero decir es que. And you're like, you know what? Take your yo quiero decir motherfucking ass out the fucking door and go fuck yourself, okay?
What's the relationship with Puerto Ricans and Argentinians?
There is no Puerto Rican.
There's no relationship, really.
Puerto Ricans, look, I grew up in New York City. Puerto Ricans did not even like Dominicans when I was younger. Because, you know, Dominicans were like the second, the second round of Spics that came to America. And then they started buying the grocery stores in New York, right?
Oh, so a lot of grocery stores in New York are Dominican owned?
They used to be owned by Puerto Ricans.
Really?
Yes, for sure.
That's news to me.
And then Dominicans started buying the bodegas from Puerto Ricans. And for the most part, a lot of Dominicans own bodegas in New York right now. I would say the majority of bodegas are Dominican owned, yes.
And have you ever dated a Dominican girl?
I can't say I have.
Really?
I can't say I have.
Wow. Were they around you? Were they around you growing up?
Oh, yeah. Well, not really. I was around just Puerto Ricans, blacks, and, you know, a dash of white and maybe a Chinese person.
But don't Puerto Ricans and Dominicans mix?
Oh, yeah.
They do?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Because I know my neighbor is half Dominican, half Puerto Rican.
Oh, yeah. No.
And let me tell you something.
I love Dominicans.
No, I like that mix.
Yeah.
It's a good mix.
No, I love Dominican. I love Dominican cooking. I love Dominicans. But I'm one of these dudes, man, when I grew up, you know, My mother would call Mexicans wetbacks, okay?
And I used to mother still calls Mexicans wetbacks.
No, dude, and I used to be like, what the fuck are you saying? Like, what are you saying? Like, that shit is ridiculous that a fucking Puerto Rican woman or any person of Latino heritage would call another Latino a degrading and demeaning name, right? I thought that was bullshit. So I grew up in, you know, I grew up with all this bullshit. Like, Dominicans are fucking ass eaters. Cubans are this, that, and the other, you know? And I grew up with, you know what? We're all Latinos, number one. And I just love all people, really. You know what I mean? Unless you're a fucking asshole. Like, just an asshole has nothing to do with your ethnicity or your race or where the fuck you're coming from. But I love all my Latino cultures. I went to Cuba. I'm in love with the Cubans from Cuba. I'm in love with them. Like, seriously.
But you have to specify Cubans from Cuba.
Well, because Cuba, no, but there's a big difference. So Americanized Cubans, it's a different story. It's like what you said. You know, they think that they're better than everybody else, right? But you have a faction of old school Cubans that live in Miami, that run some of those old restaurants and stuff like that. Those people are the same as back home, you know, on the island. And these people, I love these people. That's all I can tell you. I love, you know, I just love them. You know what I mean? So you can just suck my cock. Big up to your motherfucking Cuban from the homeland, man. Yeah, man.
This is what I was worried about. This is exactly what I was worried about.
Yeah, what were you worried about?
Is, you know, Rich leaves. Okay.
Rich leaves.
Rich leaves.
Yeah, Rich Corbin.
Now, he balanced out the ethnic tables in here. I come along, so now we have a Mexican and a Puerto Rican.
Yes.
And I just think we probably lost all our white audience. We probably lost
them. Oh, yeah, yeah.
They're gone.
Well, no, most of my white audience is probably from Europe.
Really?
So, yeah, it doesn't matter. I mean, I was looking at the demographic. I'm not going to get into now where my listeners come from, but I have a lot of listeners in Europe.
Okay, well, then to the European listeners, you have to understand, and you may experience this yourself
they don't know.
Europe.
They
no, okay, so there are, you may know the term all is Latinos, but there's different kinds of Latinos, different nationalities, obviously.
They don't give
different
a
cultures.
Shit.
Yes. Well, you're going to learn, okay? You're here to learn today.
They don't give a shit, trust me.
Just like in, how about people, you know what? I once confused a Scot for an Irishman, or was it an Irishman for a Scot, and he got upset with me.
Of course they do.
He got pissed at me. In fact, I think he was going to kick my ass.
Of course.
And this is one of those dudes, I mean, automatically if a dude's wearing a skirt, he's tough. He'll fuck you up.
I don't blame him for wanting to kick your ass. I really don't.
But I didn't, you know, I think we ended up having a pint, though. We had a pint.
So an Irish dude would be like, for fuck's sake, Seamus, what the fuck you looking at, eh?
And, wait, that was Irishman.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
And a Scottish dude would be like, I already warned you once with my face, mate. Don't make me warn you again.
That's good, man.
Yeah.
The sad part is that they would never hire you to play an Irishman or a Scot, even though you can play an Irishman or a Scot.
But But they would hire an Irishman or a Scot to play a spick, for sure. Oh, yeah.
They have and they will.
So, listen, we have about 35. I'm going to try to be on the time thing because we get on and we start talking and it's fun and great. But when I saw you outside, when I saw you outside, I said to you, how you doing? And you're like, up and down and stuff like that. And you told me earlier this week that you lost your cat.
Yes, I lost my beloved Fluff Daddy cat.
Which
16 years I've had him and loved him, and he's loved me. It's been a two-way street of love. But yeah, I tell you, it really affected me, man. I was screwed up for a week. I was just
I can see. I saw your face. I can see.
So, I've been in agony, man.
So you've been crying a lot.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've been a grown man crying over a dead cat.
But that's good. It's got to come out somehow.
Well, it's what is. I don't know if it's good. It's what is. Crying over my cat?
Yeah. No, it's good because if you have feelings about something, whatever it is, no judgment, right? And you have loss and you don't know how to express that, especially as a man, you don't know how to express loss or your feelings. My wife will say, how do you feel about it? I'm fucking angry. That's not a feeling. I'm like, yo, if I'm telling you that, that's a fear. That's as good of a feeling as I'm going to get. Right. If a man cries once in a while, man, you know, whatever it is, it's a good thing. You're in touch with whatever that is that you're feeling. You know,
there are a few things in life that our culture allows a man to cry, and particularly maybe American culture.
In Latinos, you mean?
That's a whole nother story. But let's just say in the United States, in American culture, we allow men to cry from the death of a family member, maybe their spouse or their kid, especially. You know, if a person's if a man is at a press conference and his child was murdered and he's crying, we totally say, go for it, man.
Right.
You know, or a death.
Right.
And then the other is in sports, ironically.
When
they win.
Yes.
If you win the Super Bowl, you're allowed to shed a couple of tears.
Oh, yeah, exactly. Charlie, let me touch your ass, man. That was a good pass.
And you know what? Those are the only two times where the American male is allowed to publicly cry.
Is that the only two times?
Yeah, because the other times he has to hold back the tears. He has to hold back the tears. Even if he's given his own daughter away at a wedding, he has to hold back the tears. He can't be crying.
Hmm.
Can't do it, man. Men, heterosexual men, have to be strong.
If you're out there listening right now and you think that there's another way that it's acceptable for an American man to cry, please call in 1-800-893-9562. Because I kind of think that there are other acceptable ceremonies or occasions where men are allowed to cry. But I can't think of any right now, but we're going to move on. So, again, if you're out there listening,
even in Europe.
Even in Europe, yeah.
Wait, can you reach this number if you're listening in Europe?
Sure you can.
Really? You don't have to dial 1?
Well, you would have to dial a prefix to get the fuck out of the country.
Yeah, you'd have to dial 1-800.
Yeah, 1-800.
Are you saying 1-800 or are you saying 800?
It doesn't matter, man. 800 if you're in Europe, 1-800 if you're in Asia, 1-800. Okay. If you're in France, that's fucked
that's
up.
That's terrible.
No, it's not. It's all right. I actually have some Asian listeners, which is cool. Oh, yeah. I love my big up Asia. Big up Sri Lanka. Big up India. Big up North Korea. Big up Vietnam. Big up Bangladesh. Big up.
I like how you say North Korea. I'm sure we got a lot of listeners in North Korea.
We have a couple, like two.
In North Korea.
Oh, yeah, we got two.
No way.
Yeah, we got two.
How can they listen to? They don't have the internet.
Some people got the internet.
No
there.
Way. Don't you get executed if you have the internet?
Yes, if you're not authorized by the government.
Wow.
So it's got to be two government officials.
So you're telling me that there are two people in North Korea
are listening to this show. They're downloading.
Wait, two people in North Korea willing to risk arrest, imprisonment, or death?
No. It's got to be somebody in the government that's listening to
it.
Oh. Yeah, it's got to be. Because we did an episode where we talked about the Sony scandal where, you know, everyone said the North Korean government, mm-hmm. you know, intercepted yeah. yes. Sony and all that other bullshit. But anyway, I was in New York a couple weeks ago, and the public school that I went to, PS198.
Is this where the show starts getting serious?
Well, no, I want to talk about this because
I feel like the lights came down a bit.
Well, it's something that really always disturbs me. So PS198, it's a public school. Blacks and Latinos pretty much predominantly went to that school, and they still do. 95th and 96th and 3rd Avenue. So I don't know what point, right, they opened up another public school within that public school, right? A specialized public school within the regular public school. Then I found out that in order to get into that specialized public school, I think it's PS-170 or some shit like that. In order to get into that specialized public school, you have to audition. So you have to...
And it's not a theatrical school. It's
No, you got to pass some aptitude tests. In other words...
But when you say audition, that implies theatrical audition.
Well, yeah. But auditioning is, you know, proving that you qualify to be in, right? Yes, I hear what you're saying. So you have to apply. Let's call it that way. And let's stick to academic terms. You have to apply to get into the school.
Yes.
And I thought, you know, what the fuck is this? Why do you have to apply to go into a specialized school? And then...
Because you want fame? Well, fame costs. And right here's where you start paying.
Well, no. I remember when I was younger, I remember reading an article in the Daily News about this thing called tracking, where when you're about in first grade, you get these standardized tests. And depending on these standardized tests, whatever your scores are, that's going to dictate what level of first grade, second grade, third grade, fourth grade, fifth grade, and so on, you're going to be in. So if you're academically disadvantaged, like myself, at the time, just think about this. So first grade, my father's an alcoholic. My mother's throwing knives at him. I'm not very emotionally stable, right? I come from a fucked up background. So you give me a test. I've been wearing glasses since, well, this is first grade. And I haven't been wearing glasses yet. But I was a very nervous kid, you know. So first grade is not a good time to be giving somebody an exam which is going to form the rest of their fucking, you know, their career in public school, elementary, junior, and high school, right?
Unfortunately, a child is not able to say, you know what, guys, right now, not the best time to be testing me. Let's wait a bit.
Correct.
Let's wait till my household cleans up.
Correct. Correct.
Come back in 10 years.
Correct. Correct. So I remember reading this article in the New York Daily News in which the public school systems give out these tests, and depending on, you know, what your academic level is based on these tests, you get to go to class 2-1, class 2-2, class 2-3, class 2-4, class 2-5. And these are different levels of educational opportunity within that grade. So, like, if you're really slow and you don't have that much, you know, mechanical skills, or I don't know what the fuck you could be tested at in first grade that could determine, you know, what your academic level is for the rest of your fucking educational career. I really don't. You know what I mean? Like, what are you testing? You know, do you know the difference between red and black? Are those primary colors? I mean, what the fuck are you asking a first grader, right? But depending on those scores, you will go into one, you know, class 2-1 to class 2-5, depending on what it is. And class 2-5
and it was all based on testing.
Yes, yes, yes.
Do they do a practical examination or written tests?
No. It's written tests. So I'm going to tell you what it is. So level two, class 2-5 or 2D, right? E would be the advanced track or the special education.
Sure.
So like if you're in that class, that means...
Wait, no, don't say special education.
No, specialized education. It would be...
Okay, no, but specialized education is different than special education.
Right. But I'm going to tell you. They were called... I forgot what they were called. But so then you'd go to, 3E, 4E. All your grades, you would be tracked into that specialized class, the advanced placed class. So by the time you went to... You got to eighth or ninth grade, let's say eighth grade, you can take standardized academic tests to go into high schools. And so based on those tests, you could qualify to go to really good high school or just another level of school like that public school you just came out of.
So you're saying by the time a kid was in first grade, they already knew which high school he was going to go to.
In first grade, you're not which high school you're going to go to, but
what level of high school you're going to go to.
Your chances of getting an equal opportunity education are going to be slim to none by the time you get to high school.
Well, this is actually an interesting concept because you look at, for example, dance, let's say ballet.
Right.
The top ballet professionals can look at tiny children and know which of these tiny children, even if they all have the same skill level, 10 little 10-year-old girls,
right,
10 little 5-year-old girls,
right,
all with the same skill level, right, they can tell by looking at them which ones are going to be pros.
Right.
They?
But that's dance. That's
no,
that's,
but I'm saying that it's the same principle. They're looking at first graders, giving them a battery of tests or whatever it is that they do to them,
right,
and then they're determining their future already.
Right. Right. But this is, we're talking about here, we're talking about fundamental education. We're talking about public school system. We're talking about public schools are funded by tax dollars. So the issue is, there's two issues at hand, right? It's not really fair to an advanced student, meaning a kid that has a higher or bigger understanding of basic principles of math, science, or whatever, in the same class as somebody who's a little slower, who doesn't quite grasp the 1+1 concept, the fucking, you know, if you put sodium and you know, you need oxygen and you need material and you need an igniter to create a flame, whatever it is. I just can't imagine what first graders, what that test would be like, right? So it's not really fair to either group, right? It's not really fair to have a kid who's really advanced to be in the same class as a kid who's a little slow, because then that kid has to be like bored, because the slower kid, it takes him a long time to understand. And the same time, it's not really fair for that slow kid to be in a class that's, you know, a little bit of a higher level, because they're going to feel like they're fucking inadequate, right? So they have this thing called tracking. I mean, so it's tracking is the separating of pupils by academic ability into groups for all subjects or certain classes and curriculum within a school. In a tracking system, the entire school population is assigned to classes according to whether the student's overall achievement is above average, normal, or below average. Students attend academic classes only with students whose overall academic achievement is the same as their own, right? So
I'm having all kinds of flashbacks from my childhood.
Me,
you know,
too.
Because I was taken out of the sixth grade.
Right.
I was put through a battery of tests. I was declared gifted.
Right.
I was declared, I don't know about officially high IQ, but higher IQ.
Right.
And therefore they thought, oh, so now we need to put them in these classes. When meanwhile, even though I tested well, my grades and behavior only showed that I was a troubled kid. So I was a troubled kid who happened to test well. Right. Therefore, they put me in these right. honors classes right. with these performers, the kids who we turned in these awesome science projects right. and all that. Just because I tested well
so
and showed
some-
So
you felt inadequate?
Well, no, I just felt like I didn't belong here. Also, I felt like these kids were big time nerds.
Uh-huh.
These kids were big time nerds. In other words, they took me from the neighborhood.
Well, you're a big time nerd as a result of being with these guys, no?
Who?
You.
Which guys?
Well, as a result of being tracked into this gifted school, the nerdisms rubbed off on you.
Well,
no?
Like I was right on the cusp as I entered seventh grade. I was right on the cusp of I still knew some neighborhood kids, but also I was in the gifted program.
Yeah.
So the kids in the gifted program, I'm noticing we're into music and we're into reading.
Right.
And the kids who were from the neighborhood were fingering girls already.
Foop.
So I wanted to finger the girls.
Right. So but you were in the wrong school.
I was in the wrong school and with the wrong group.
See, my thing is
wanted to be the fingering girls group.
My thing was the opposite, right? I had a lot of potential as a kid to be, you know, a reader and, I could have, you know, easily gone into, let me put it this way. I could have been on the nerd track. Instead, they put me in the, like, below average track. And as a result, I started fingering girls and getting high and drinking. That was my thing.
Wait, when did you start fingering girls?
Oh, well, first of all, I think I was in what grade was this?
You fingered a girl when you were in the third grade?
Hold on, I'm going to give you the specific date. It wasn't third
like
grade.
Like Josh Duggar.
It wasn't third grade. I think it was between third and fourth grade.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah.
Did she allow you to do this?
She wanted, yeah. We went into the closet. We went to a fucking closet. Now, when I say finger, it wasn't even like, you know, it was just, you know, touching it.
Did you smell your fingers?
No.
You didn't smell your fingers?
No.
Because I used to grope the girls next door to me and I'd smell my fingers.
Well, you're perverted. You got mental issues. No, but it wasn't really like that. I mean, when you say fingering, now I'm talking about, you know, you're touching and you're showing each other's private parts.
But you're not making out and fingering.
No. And you're rubbing each other. You're rubbing up on each other. And the teacher goes, "What are you doing?" You know, they come into the closet.
Wait, you were at school doing this?
Oh, yeah. Oh, wow. Yeah, in the school closet. Oh, yeah. And she opens the closet. She goes, "Nestor, Diane, what are you doing? Get out of the closet."
And you're like, "I'm trying to finger this bitch, Yehoah."
There starts the shame. The barrage of shaming, and shaming creates more shaming behavior.
Close the door, you old hag.
You fucking bitch.
Can't you see I'm trying to get my dick wet?
Yeah. So check it. So it's a simple idea, this tracking thing. So like most schools have several classrooms for any given class or subject, right? Not every fucking kid in a first grade class is in one classroom. They'll have like I said before, four, two, three, whatever, different classrooms. Children are starting in different places and learn at different speeds. Instead of teaching them all at once, which can be too fast for some and too slow for others, sort them by how much they already know and how quickly they can learn. That's the principle. Right?
Sure.
But what happens is that, the Department of Education has branded tracking, designating students for separate educational paths based on their academic performance as modern day form of segregation. Right?
So hang on, let's be specific here. When you say academic performance, are you referring to their grades?
Grades.
Their behavior? Testing. Or their test results?
Test results.
Or all of them?
Test results.
See, that's the problem. If you're going to judge kids based on test results, see, I think you have to go by a track record here.
Right.
Like I said, in my case, I was a troubled kid.
Right.
I had behavior problems. I had lower than average grades. I had grades that were not commensurate with my intelligence, apparently.
Right.
Underachieving,
right.
You may say.
Right.
So what happens is I tested well. They put me in this other group. I did not feel that I fit in, and therefore the demise of my academic life, just based on testing alone, and not track record, grades, performance, behavior.
Right.
Our entire school system is messed up, man.
Well, it's again, it's not that simple, right? Because what I'd like to say is that it's fucked up. What it does is it creates segregation. Let me give you an example. That public school that I went to, so not anybody can qualify to go to that to the higher opportunity learning. I mean, that's what it is, right? It's a gifted program, right? So on a fundamental level, you're saying you're not gifted, you're retarded. You get to go to PS198 where the milk is spoiled, and you know. But you, Sal, you, let's talk. You, my friend, you're gifted. So we're going to offer you, ooh, we're going to offer, wow, you 5 years, ooh, of prestigious public school educational at the PS177, ooh, public school within the public school, PS198. And we're going to guarantee you your own entrance.
Wow.
For people like you.
Okay. All right, let's do it.
So now,
now I'm like, yeah, let's go.
No, now.
Back then I was like,
in this school, they have the regular entrance where my retarded ass went through, right? And then they have an entrance for the gifted PS1, whatever the fuck.
Wait,
it
they
is.
Had a different school entrance?
Yes.
Wow.
Yes. Now here's the kicker. So
this entrance had a greeter, like a Walmart greeter. Hello, good day to you. Good day to you, student. Good day to you.
Hi, Guillermo. Would you like to try the cheese souffle dip?
No, you know what that reminds me of?
Before you go to your first grade class. Hey,
you got a guy serving appetizers. No, you know what? That reminds me of Dodger Stadium. I was at Dodger Stadium a couple of years ago, and I had the awesome tickets behind home plate. Yes, they were from a rich white person.
Yeah.
I had these tickets. I went into this gate by mistake. They searched me. Yeah. They searched my person. They searched our bags, all right? And then once I got further, they go, oh, you're going in the wrong gates. You need to go in these other gates. I had to leave, go in the other gates that I was supposed to go into based on my tickets, and they just waved me right through. There was no search. There was nobody searches these ticket holders, but they searched these ticket holders, even though we're all ticket holders.
Right.
Know what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
It's bullshit, man.
Well, I mean, you know, that's you were prejudicially tracked at the track.
Yes, I was
at the baseball what do you call it?
Stadium.
Thank you.
I was going to argue against tracking because tracking leads to separation and segregation. However, would you say that in life, once you leave school, once a student leaves school and goes out into the world, there is segregation and there is separation?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And that's that's one of the proponents of this, you know, that's one of their arguments. But here's the deal. Aren't we all entitled to the same equal education, the same opportunity to have a really good education, right? So I could see if you tracked students to go to, you know, the gifted class, right? First of all, I'm completely against that school within that school. Completely against it. My fucking my tax dollars that are paying for that school, I don't have the right to say, I don't want my tax dollars to go here. I want you to invest my 33% of my taxes to go here, right? You don't have that choice. So why are you taking the choice away from, you know, prospective students to get a fair education? I just have a problem with that. I don't have a problem per se with the idea of tracking. I have a problem with tracking because it is a form of segregation. It is. I don't care how you look at it, right? So my thing is this: I don't have a problem with putting a more educationally apt or somebody who's above average in an above average class, right? So that teacher's getting a certain salary, and that teacher teaches the same curriculum and the same class as that below average class. They get the same amount of money. They're teaching the same curriculum, but at a slower speed, with the idea that by the time you get to the second or third grade, that student that was in the below average is now at least in the average, not necessarily above average, but the goal would be to get them up to par. So by the time you get to eighth grade, they would all, or at least the majority of them, would qualify to apply to a decent school.
But so you're proposing that they actually teach the kids.
Well, this is the problem. So the below average kids, which happen to be blacks and Latinos, you know, no surprise there.
Wait. Which Latinos? Cubans? Puerto Ricans?
Depending
Argentinians?
Depending on where you're at. If you're in LA, then we're talking about Mexicans. If you're in New York, chances are you're talking about Puerto Ricans and Dominicans. You know, Cubans maybe. I mean, I don't know. You know, it's the thing is.
I just realized I've never dated a Cuban girl.
Here.
Have I dated a Cuban girl? No, I don't think so.
So here. So proponents of tracking and of ability grouping, which is a milder version that separates students within the same classroom based on ability, which is not to be confused with tracking, but what is it? Ability grouping. So it's one class.
Wow.
It's one class.
Oh, you're knocking shit over, man.
It's one class, right? So we're in the same class.
Yes.
First grade, right?
Yeah.
And within
our lives are fucked up at home.
Right. Within our first class, Sal, you have a little bit, I mean, you could, you know, your reading comprehension level is a little bit, you know, higher than mine. You know how to spell a little bit better than mine. You speak a little bit better and clearer. I'm in the same class and I'm like,
hey, I wish I knew how to sketch.
And the teacher goes, son, you need to go in the back of the room with Mrs. Brown.
Ooh.
Guillermo,
I'm listening.
You get to go in the front. Well, you know where we give Fred special chocolate sauce.
Hang on. Let me have a look at Mrs. Brown. I want to see what she's about.
And I'm in the back going, and she's like, I ain't talking to you yet. So, but you're in the same class. And so there's different groups, right? So group A is in the back. You need a little extra help. Group, you know, B, whatever. Tracking, the problem with tracking, just to clarify, the problem with tracking is that once you're tracked, like early on in the first grade, that's the fucking track you're taking. And I think I said this before, like for third grade, fourth grade, fifth grade, sixth grade, you know.
And this is all going on behind the scenes without your average student nor parent aware.
Correct. The only parents that are aware, let me see if I can get this this.
And are they doing reassessments? Are they doing periodic reassessments?
This is the problem.
Or they're put on track as soon as they start and then they stay on that track.
This is the problem. And may come about, like by the time you get to high school, you know, you're a troubled kid or whatever. And then you're called in by the principal. You're called in by the guidance counselor. And then they find out that, maybe you just need a little help, a little attention. And they may, and the guidance counselor may help you get into a different class. You know what I mean? But let me give you this. It's a fact of urban life that parents with means will go to great lengths to get their children into the best possible programs, says Joyce Zufilta, a consultant for New York City parents trying to navigate the educational system. Okay, and I'm going to get back to this. New York practices an extreme form of tracking, with students able to test into special, gifted, and talented schools when they're as young as 4. Okay? What, when you're 4, what are you? In pre-kindergarten? Kindergarten?
Preschool, I think.
Like kindergarten. This is what I'm talking about. It's as early as that.
Sure.
So here's
I don't think kindergarten is till like 5.
Preschool.
Okay, 4 or 5 might be kindergarten.
Right.
Yes,
that's right. True. So you're in pre-fingering stage.
You're a young fuck.
You're in the pre-fingering stage of your academic.
You have not. Well, yeah, I don't know.
So maybe
you fingered your sister or something.
So here's the thing, right? So in New York, and I don't know how it is here, there are really, really good schools that are in special zones. When I say special zones, they're in affluent neighborhoods,
okay,
right?
Yes.
So even though you are gifted, Sal, you're not going to be able to go to that school because you don't live within that zone.
Yes.
Okay? Further.
And are these public schools or these private schools?
Public schools.
Okay.
Further proving that, again, I don't get to decide where my tax dollars go. Why should you, the system that pays for the tax system that pays for the educational system, should decide who and where and when somebody should go when you're qualified? So even at that point is even segregated. So what parents do is they get a mailing address in that zip code,
sure,
so that they can get their kids to go to school. But it's this bullshit that goes on, and it's appalling. You know what I mean?
Using your cousin's address to go to a different school. I think they've been doing that shit since Little House on the Prairie days,
it's appalling. But let me give you some pros and cons. So proponents of tracking and of ability grouping say that the practices allow students to learn at their own levels and prevent a difficult situation for teachers. Large classes where children with a wide range of different needs and skill levels are mixed together. In many districts, the higher level instruction in gifted and talented or advanced placement classes is what keeps wealthier families from entirely abandoning the public school systems. So you're basically keeping some of the wealthy families in the public school systems, right? So keep in mind that in order for a school to get tax funding, you got to have A, the student body, and B, you got to have some sort of academic proof, right? That what you're teaching is working. Right?
Yes.
So teachers also generally prefer to teach track classes. They find it difficult to engage children across a wide range of academic attainment and aptitude simultaneously. The problem is intuitive. What interests one child bores another. What interests the latter confuses and puzzles the first. Children do not enter the public school system with equal preparation, so why shouldn't our schools reflect this? Right?
But if you were to start at the beginning, their first assessments.
Right.
As soon as you give a child an assessment, would you have to stop and look at what? Their circumstances, their family's finances,
their family's affluence.
What do you look at?
I think if you're going to track somebody, you should have tracking examinations at every grade.
How about you track the parents? How about that?
Well, at any given point, your situation, your socioeconomic situation can change. Therefore, your emotional state will change. Therefore, you know, where you are at in terms of, you know, educational capacity might change, and therefore your brain may have caught up from below average to average, or maybe even you might excel at something, which may make you qualify to be in a gifted program.
But let me ask you this: is it better to be the smartest of the dumb or the dumbest of the smart?
I'm not sure.
Because, you know, I think they did. I think that they took me. Maybe I was the smartest of the dumb. Then they put me in an environment where I was the dumbest of the smart.
Well, this is part of what they're trying to say. So here's what the opponents say.
I could have been the best dumb guy there, man.
Well, you could have been a big fish in a little pond, so to speak.
Yes.
In a big fish in a small educational pond. I get it. So opponents say the ill effects for the students in the lower skilled classes negate the advantages that the students in the advanced classes gain. Many education researchers have argued that tracking perpetuates class inequality and is partially to blame for the stubborn achievement gap in the U.S. educational system between white and Asian students on one side and black and Latino students on the other.
So, now I'm even more depressed. Well, I thought my life sucked when my cat died. Now any kids I were to have are going to get a screwed education because I'm a Latino.
Well, I mean, it's fucked up. But you know,
no, you know what? That's not true because George Lopez's kids are going to some awesome schools. I'm certain.
Well, it's different when you have
Selma Hayek's kids.
But when you
are going to some great schools,
but when you have a lot of money, right? Then you don't have to rely on the public school system. You can afford to take your kid in from kindergarten to a $75,000, $100,000, $150,000 a year private school. So therefore, it doesn't really matter, right? Because your kid could be retarded, and you can go into a private school, and the classes are smaller. You have a teacher, and chances are they'll have even you know, like rich retard. You know, average rich guy and, you know, advanced rich guy. Or they may have...
Super rich? Are you rich or super rich?
No, I'm talking about educational capacity. Or they may have, you know, testing to get in. So if you don't pass those tests, even if you have the money, you can't get in. I mean, that happens, you know, sometimes just because you have the money doesn't mean you're going to be able to get in. There are standards in some of these places.
No, but know what? So as long as this system is in place, as long as we have a tracking system, regardless of the state, it's going to take generations because theoretically in generations we'll have more, would you say, income equality, wealth equality, maybe.
Well, yeah.
In 100 years,
yeah.
Maybe.
Well, this
and
is...
I use the term, I say maybe, because
well, this is what happens.
Because white Americans got a head start. So since they got a head start, would it take a few generations for people to catch up, and then this will all balance out one day?
No, because if you have the system in place, and this system is keeping certain people down, then it doesn't matter. For as long as time goes on, you're going to have...
In other words, the system cannot correct itself.
No. Yeah. I mean... Out of 10 students that are in the below average, eventually they'll catch up at some point. And like I'm a perfect example of that, right? So if I look at some of my fifth grade papers that I wrote, I was retarded. I'm not going to front. I mean, some of the shit that I wrote is like, come on, dude, that was in fifth grade. I know some fifth graders that can put some serious, cohesive paragraphs, thoughts, and whatever. But at a certain point in my life, you know, it was almost like the Rubik's Cube clicked.
I'd like you to bring some of those documents next week. I'd like to read these things.
I don't know where they were, but I remember reading one of those. I was like, Jesus Christ, no wonder I did cocaine, you know?
But meanwhile, I mean, this is can go into a whole another argument regarding surely these kids who don't test or achieve as much as these kids have some gifts that the other kids don't have.
Yeah, like stabbing motherfuckers on the street. Taking your sneakers.
Okay, well, let's say right off the bat, let's say musical inclinations, okay? 10 kids are tested, and these ones are tested high achievers, so they're put on the fast track, all right? But meanwhile, these kids may be good at music.
Yeah, but...
But that doesn't count for anything.
Right, but if you don't have any money to get equal education in a public school system, think about it. The funding for the arts within that school system is going to probably be non-existent. So you'll probably have to go to a specialized public school that specializes in, you know, music for the gifted, you know, gifted students in music or art or whatever. And that's usually in high school. You know?
So how do they identify these classes, I wonder? Or, for example, if you're a school teacher starting at a new high school and they say you're going to teach the 10th grade, not all 10th grade classes are alike. So they would tell the school teacher, you're going to teach the 10th grade, what, group 3, in which implies those are the troubled kids. Is that
know.
What that means?
I don't know.
Or you know what?
Welcome to class 1A. Today we're going to show you how to suck a cock. Because let's face it, none of you are going to amount to shit. So at least you should get some oral skills since you're not going to be able to talk about nothing important in your life. okay? So we'll start
Mr. Rodriguez is mean.
So we'll start with a big carrot. Open the carrot, shave the carrot, make it smooth, and drop it in your mouth. Okay, now gently pull it out and let it drop again. You're in the beginning stages of advanced fellatio.
And this is hoe tracking.
This
is when you identify
tomorrow,
a young kid.
Tomorrow we'll be teaching different, you know, tomorrow we'll be teaching different different classes. You know, I wanted to just, we have Giacomo, our intern, here again, and I wanted to just, I meant to bring him in a little earlier. We're just fucking going off, so forgive me, Giacomo.
No worries.
What's happening? Quesadich.
What?
Quesadich.
Yeah, no, it's fine. It was really interesting to hear you. Yeah.
Did you just bring Giacomo on when we have 11 seconds left?
It's all right. I have a minute or two. So.
No, it was interesting because there are some different parts in Switzerland about this tracking system.
Right.
Because actually, it was like you were saying before, that you can actually change from one year from a grade to another.
Right. Within your tracking system. Where
exactly. Because everyone is in the same class and we have levels from just some lessons.
Uh-huh.
And from a grade to another, you can move from a lower level to a higher one.
Got it.
So
basically what you're saying is you have ability grouping is what it's called.
Yeah,
here.
Exactly.
So you're in the same class,
exactly.
But you have a better scholastic ability than somebody else, meaning a better educational ability.
Yeah.
So in this class, you're doing a little bit better. So now you're going to be put into this group. For this class.
Yeah, that's true.
So a perfect example is Giacomo's Italian.
Yes.
Right? So he is from a part of Switzerland that's just, you know, it's predominantly Italian, but it's not Italy.
Exactly. No, right? It's not.
But you guys are looked upon as less or inferior to the regular Swiss.
Yeah. Do you know this to be the case?
I do.
You do? Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it is the case.
Okay. That's I don't want
true.
You to be like, hey, fuck you, man.
No, it is true.
You're not looking at us like that,
no,
man.
No, it's not me. It's just I find that fascinating because, you know, and so do you think that the general Swiss population has access to better education than where you come from? Or do you think that the public subsidized tax funding mm-hmm. goes equally to the whole country?
No, I think it goes equally,
okay.
Actually.
Well, that's great.
Yeah, it is great.
That's great.
Yep.
Yeah.
It is.
I like that.
So they got awesome chocolate. Do you eat chocolate?
Yeah.
Oh, you do eat chocolate. I turned him onto a Reese's peanut butter cup. He never had one.
Awesome.
Yeah. they got awesome chocolate.
Yeah.
They got the Swiss Army fucking knife, which is so awesome.
Which I don't think was made in Switzerland. I think that was made in Germany.
Hang on. And now they... And now,
big up to your German knife carrying Swiss motherfuckers.
Hang on.
That's...
Hey. Okay, what else?
And now, an awesome educational system.
Well,
I'm moving to Switzerland.
Well,
fuck this.
Well,
can I pass for Italian if I move to Switzerland?
Yeah, you could. All right. I think.
You have the same complexion. You have to change, how do you say it? You have to change your accent. You can do it. Yeah, you know.
Your accent sounds just like Giacomo's accent.
So Giacomo, I took you last week to a cheeseburger place, and I told you it was like one of my favorite cheeseburgers, and I love cheeseburgers.
Where'd you take it?
What'd you think? A few weeks ago.
Oh, it was amazing.
You were there. We went to the Black Sheep.
Oh, I thought you were going to say you took him somewhere else.
No. I'm going to take him to another cheeseburger.
Have you taken him to In-N-Out?
He knows about In-N-Out.
But Black Sheep was even better.
It was amazing.
Yeah, it was amazing.
It's more gourmet. It was
amazing. Anyway, I need to do that.
You just got to do that for every episode, even if it's
fuck
relevant.
Fuck you to the educational system that tracks blacks and Latinos to keep them down. Fuck you. California Board of Education for fucking taking general fucking tax funding and putting it up white motherfuckers' asses, okay?
That's it.
Fuck you for fucking taking general tax dollars in New York and fucking sticking it to the blacks and the Latinos, okay? Go fuck yourself, alright?
You know what? That's it. The last
do
two
you wanna...
white listeners were hanging on. They are now gone.
I don't give a fuck. Okay, here, wow. check it out. Hold on a second. Oh, I don't. Do I have that one? Hold on a second. Do I have that shit? Yeah.
Oh, you know what? That was my class song.
That was your
actually,
class song.
That was my class song. Class song. It was.
Do you want to prop your YouTube channel?
Yes, I want to say two things. First of all, I want to say rest in peace to my Fluff Daddy. I love you, and I will see you again one day.
Yo, Fluff Daddy. I love that shit.
Fluff Daddy.
Big up, Fluff Diggity Daddy.
Big up, Fluff Daddy.
Yo, I like that name. If I had a cat, I'd name him Fluff Daddy.
He was so cute.
Okay, what's the second one? What's the second prop?
The other thing is I'd like to invite any listeners to check out my YouTube review channel, youtube.com/SalvadorLosAngeles, where I review toys and tech.
What are you laughing at, you motherfucker? What the fuck are you laughing?
Okay, when you first had him say, like, do you want to announce your YouTube? I was just going to go on the air and just say, like, oh, your toys show?
The fucking toy show! Yeah!
Listen, I'm approaching 2,000 subscribers, motherfucker! Yeah!
Thank you very much.
You know what? I didn't do this.
Peace, this is Common, and right now you're checking out Nestorius Public Radio. Y'all stay in tune. Love.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Hey, yo, check out our Facebook page, Nestorius. Check out our Twitter, Nestorius NYC. And go to our Facebook page. Like us. Go to iTunes and subscribe to the show. All right, peace out.
Talking shit, so y'all gotta, like, you know, encourage me the whole way along.